And thus, our scripture lesson for this morning comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. I'm going to read chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. It is one of those classic portions of scripture dealing with stewardship as we begin to think about that important spiritual reality. Listen for the word of God. The Apostle Paul says, "The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your need for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." One day in 1888, a certain Norwegian businessman reached for his morning newspaper. Flipping through the pages, he received the shock of his life. He read his own obituary. It was all a terrible mistake, of course. The businessman's brother had died, and a careless reporter, confusing the two of them, had composed an obituary for the wrong man. But because of that blunder, the businessman got a rare and disturbing glimpse of how he was viewed by the world, of what the world would say about him after his death. He did not like what he read. To be sure, the facts of his life were accurately described, and all his impressive achievements were laid out in detail. Yet there was nothing here of the high principles, his beliefs, his values, the things he held most dear. Instead, the obituary focused on his inventions, his factories, and his great wealth. Decades before, he had created an explosive that he called dynamite. And this weapon of destruction had made him wealthy and famous beyond his wildest dreams. The Norwegian businessman was the world-renowned Alfred Nobel. But it was on the day that he read his own obituary that Alfred Nobel began a new life. He realized, reading about his death, that the world saw his life as founded on violence and war. And shocked, Nobel decided that this experience had given him a second chance. He began giving his money away. He made provision in his will for the Nobel Prizes, rewarding those who had made the greatest contributions to humanity and peace. And today, of course, he is best remembered for his humanitarian work, the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes, Alfred Nobel, in effect, rewrote his own obituary. Thank God for second chances. Thank God there are some occasions in life when we are given the sheer grace to see ourselves as we really are, to discern that something is wrong and to fix it. Alfred Nobel was given this second chance, a second chance to use his money not for destruction but for joy, not for violence but for happiness. And friends, stewardship gives all of us this second chance. God loves a cheerful giver, writes the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. What a concept that giving things away will make us happy. But that's God's honest truth. Anyone who's ever dug down deeply enough to give a sacrificial gift, a gift that really costs something in money, time, or effort, and then has watched a smile of gratitude in the recipients, knows what it means to be a cheerful giver. It feels wonderful to give things away if by giving we bring joy. But when Paul describes a cheerful giver, the Greek word he uses, hilaron, is related to our English word hilarious. I agree with what the minister Carlos Wilton said when he wrote this. He says he likes hilarious better, for cheerfulness is so low-key, it's so ordinary. Cheerful sounds like looking on the bright side or starting each day with a smile, but hilarious, on the other hand, is a great big belly laugh, and it expands until the whole body is shaking. Hilarious is not a chuckle, but a guffaw. It's rolling in the aisles with merriment. It's laughing out loud. Now that's the side of stewardship I want us to explore this morning. Not just cheerful giving, but hilarious giving. Now let's try this story on for size, and please remember that in the South, the truth doesn't always get in the way of a good story, okay? Back when I was in Texas, a man with whom I was acquainted, a very prominent citizen in the community in which we lived, came to the church office where I served one day and asked if I would do a funeral service there in the church sanctuary for his beloved deceased pet dog. I looked at him for a minute, somewhat stunned, and told him what a great lover of dogs I was, that for most of my life I've had at least one, if not two, but I'm sorry, Billy Bob, I told him, I can't do a church funeral for a dog. Well, he hung his head, thanked me, and asked if I thought the Methodist church, just a block down the street, might do the service. Well, I said I knew the pastor, Robert Besser, and I wasn't sure about that, but it never hurts to ask. And so as he was walking out the door, he turned to me and said, by the way, Pastor Bill, would you think $50,000 is enough to donate for such a service? And I looked at him and I said, Billy Bob, hold on a minute. Why didn't you tell me your dog was a Presbyterian? Is Paul really saying we can have a second chance with our money to give things away that can fill our lives with laughter like we just had? Yes, he is. And I want to make a confession this morning. I've somewhat had it with this grim, tight-lipped attitude toward money in general, and stewardship campaigns in particular. We approach it almost as if we're headed to get a root canal. My friends, we're talking good news here. Good news. Carlos Wilton points out that the hilarious side of stewardship operates from the principle of abundance. Let's look with a story at the vision of abundance. There's an East Indian fable about a man who is traveling far from home, and a thief notices his fine clothes and his bulging money bag and decides to travel with him and look for a way to steal his valuables. Every night in the humble inns along the roadside, this thief unrolls his bedroll early and pretends to sleep. And then as the rich man leaves the room to get washed up and ready for bed, the thief rummages through the rich man's belongings in search of the sack of treasure. But he never can find it. As soon as he hears the rich man's footsteps, he leaps back into his own bedroll, certain he's just moments away from finding that treasure. Every morning, the thief once again pretends to sleep until the rich man goes down for breakfast, and yet every morning is the same as evening. The thief can never find the money bag. And day after day, this goes on. Until finally, the two men reach their destination. As they're parting ways, the thief's curiosity gets the better of him. He admits to the rich man what he's been up to, and he says, "How have you eluded me for so long? Did you guess that I was out to rob you?" "Yes," said the rich man, "I guessed that the very first night." "Well, where did you hide the treasure then?" "It was very simple," replied the rich man. "Every night when you went to get cleaned up before bed, I slipped into the room and put my treasure in your pillow. And every morning, after you rifled through my belongings, I got it back." Yes. Sometimes in all our anxiety about finances, we too miss the treasure that is close at hand, that is right under our nose. All the wonderful good gifts that God has indeed given us. And if we're ever going to be hilarious givers, we've somehow got to stop chasing after treasure in every imaginable place and realize that we have plenty of treasures close at hand. Yes, yes, I'm talking about a vision of abundance. Now, for some of you, this may sound out of touch with reality here in this sanctuary on this morning. Some of you have been or are without a job. But Lynn Twist, a former executive director of the Hunger Project, gives an insight that may help here. In her book, The Soul of Money, she writes that what is it in life that gives money so much power? She wonders about that, and it comes from what she calls the great lie of scarcity. We are taught, she says, in the Western world especially, that there's simply not enough. There's not enough to go around. Everybody can't make it. Everyone is going to find that someone is left out. There are way too many people. There's not enough food. There's not enough water. There's not enough air. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. But when we name scarcity a lie and recognize that God is able to provide us with everything we need, then we are able to share abundantly in every good work. So stewardship, then, is the litmus test of faith. That's why Jesus had more to say about money than any other subject except God's love. God's love is important, but Jesus says that how you and I relate and use our property and money is also important. It is central to our relationship with God. Trusting and serving God with our resources is a sign of authentic faith. Or as the minister Carl Travis puts it, if you're motivated to think about stewardship because your church is in rough financial waters and you're wondering how to pay the light bill, fair enough. But take note, if that's your theological pitch, you're likely to remain in the dark. People need to speak first of joy and grace and individual spiritual discipline and benefit. Stewardship is to be an exuberant, excited, doxological proclamation that the God who set us in this abundant world refuses to turn his back on us or close his hand. We live amidst unparalleled bounty. Our stewardship context is about stepping into the generous heart of God where we might learn to do likewise. Yes, the good news is that there is more joyous and far less anxious motivation for talking about stewardship than simply the need to subscribe to the church budget. And if we believe this and understand this, then our efforts for congregational stewardship will not begin with lamentations about all, if only, but rather they will begin with the graceful declaration about the joy of emulating a selfless God. My friends, hilarious giving is always about understanding the abundant goodness of God and how that goodness makes a future for others. In downtown Seattle, a few years ago, though it could have been in any city in this country, a man was walking down the street just a few days before Christmas. He came upon one of those Salvation Army kettles, and as he approached the volunteer ringing the bell, he felt an unaccustomed spirit of generosity wash over him. Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out all his change. He dropped every last coin into the kettle with a smile. And then he turned to leave, but stopped. And he reached back into his back pocket, pulled out his wallet, and emptied every last bill into the kettle. Now, this was a person of my generation that still carries cash. And grinning like an idiot, he walked away with a bounce to his step. But then about two blocks later, the bounce wore out. Suddenly it hit him. What have I done? He asked himself. The man turned around, walked back to the volunteer, and asked for his money back. He got it and left again, walking very quickly this time. For two blocks, writes one minister, that man walked in the kingdom of God. For two blocks, he was free of his burden of possessions. For two blocks, he put other people above himself. For two blocks, he was blessed. But like most of us, he could not stand the uncertainty that goes with that much blessing. He wanted to continue to think that he was in control. He walked back out of the realm of God and back into the well-worn grooves of this selfish world. Friends, I hope you will consider what it means to walk in the kingdom of God. I invite you this day to consider the hilarious side of stewardship. What would it take for you to become an hilarious giver. I'm just asking. Amen.